So as you turn to Nehemiah, and we've been looking in this book for a few weeks now, off and on, and I know some of you may have missed one or another, but we're kind of tying them all together. This isn't a study that is one-off messages, but they kind of build on each other. And so before we have a little bit of a visual aid, I want to give you sort of a summary of Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2 that might help you as you consider the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 tells us about Nehemiah's weeping, confessing, and praying. And don't worry, we will repeat these a few more times through the book. Nehemiah 1 is Nehemiah weeping, confessing, and praying. Nehemiah chapter 2 shows us the good hand of our God leading to our hands being strengthened unto a good work. Now, I'll repeat that one more time. Nehemiah chapter 2, the good hand of my God leads to our hands being strengthened unto a good work. Because if you hadn't noticed, that is a very big theme in Nehemiah chapter 2, the good hand of our God. And we looked at that in the last message we dealt with on Wednesday. This evening, though, we're going to start into chapter 3, and chapter 3 has a lot of names. And I don't know about you, but sometimes those get to be the chapters that you jump through as quick as possible because you can't pronounce them. And I will do my best to pronounce them tonight. You'll just have to bear with my silly accent and my inability to read. So we're going to be looking at Nehemiah, and it's a diagram of the wall, and it has all the names of the people written next to the section of the wall they did, which is really helpful. So we have in Nehemiah chapter 3, we'll begin reading there because some of the points that we can bring out don't have to do with the diagram. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaneah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel. We have a diagram, and if you can't see it, you might have to come up, and it'll be up afterwards so you can look. But we have here Eliashib and the priests starting here near the sheep gate, and we're going to work our way around the city like this. And this, by the way, is the same direction. This direction is the same way that Nehemiah viewed the city in chapter 2. He went out by different gates. We have Eliashib and the priests, and if you'll notice, that's the gate and the build the wall that's very close to the temple. This isn't quite to scale, but it's pretty close. That's the temple there. And we have them setting up the sheep gate. Where did I lose the sheep? Yeah, that is the sheep gate there, next to, in between the Eliashib and the goldsmiths and merchants. That is where they would bring the sheep into the city to go into the temple to sacrifice them. So this gate was very important that there was a gate there. If they had just built a wall, there would have been no easy way of getting the sacrifices to the temple. And so it is very important that the priests made sure all of that was just right and that it was well defended there. As we go around, we have the men of Jericho. And for those of you over here, that's going to be difficult. Can you see it? I don't know if it's big enough for everyone. Can anyone actually read the words on that? Okay, some people have better eyes than me. Good. Nehemiah, perfect. That is in the middle. We have here the description of each group and each person who's involved in this building. Before we get any further into that description, I just want to you to notice one thing from the first verse. We have Eliashib the high priest. He rose up with his brethren. They did not sit and wait. They immediately got up and got to work. At the end of chapter 2, we had the people of Israel were strengthening their hands to get to work, and they didn't put it off. They didn't wait. And to further go back a little further, all of the required Bunnings vouchers were available. That's what I said last week. No, they had all of the forest was at their disposal, and the lumber was made ready for them. They did not delay one day in starting this work. Every person was excited about doing what God wanted, and they immediately jumped up to do it. You may notice in this chapter that there's a number of rulers and a number of important people, and yet they got up themselves to do the work. In this first verse, Eliashib the high priest, he didn't think it was beneath him to help build the wall. He got up and he helped move the stones and the dirt and whatever else they used to build these walls. This is the section that was theirs, Eliashib the high priest. And then we had the men of Jericho next to them, and we keep going around. I think we've already read through verse 4, so there we are now. Next unto them repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, and next unto them repaired Meshulam the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel, and next unto them repaired Zadok the son of Baana, I don't know. Each one of these, and they're coming off to this side here, we're in here, Meshulam, and the son of Baana is here. We're working our way around the city. And we must understand, this is not just putting up a fence. That's difficult enough. Any of you who've been involved in putting up a fence, it's hard work. This is putting up earthworks, a wall that people can walk across that's more than human height, at least, if not double or triple, and rocks and stones along the outside of it so it wasn't easily able to be knocked down, reinforced with wood and other things, and gates, not just doors, but gates. It was a big undertaking. So when we read here that someone built a gate and the beams thereof, and the locks thereof, it was a big undertaking. It took a lot of effort. It wasn't just slapped up in a night. As we're going around, in verse 5, next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Now I want us to pause here for just a second. This is the closest that Nehemiah gets to condemning anyone in this list. All the way through, he's praising the people in this list. He's saying, remember the name of this person and this person and this person and the men from Jericho. Write down their name in this list so we can say what great thing they have done. I also believe that Nehemiah was going to use this list for the king to say, look, we had a great deal of unity built around putting this city together again, but not one in rebellion to you, one praising you. This was building goodwill. And so that's why you'd have the men of Jericho and so forth put on there, and the half rulers of this city and that city all have influence here, because it would be proving that this was something to build a relationship between the king, whom Nehemiah had left, and this city. But it is definitely a praise to these people for what they have done, except here in verse 5, we have the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. These nobles said that God was their God, that he was their Lord. They said that he was important. They allowed their people, the Tekoites, the rest of the Tekoites, to go, but they weren't going to lift a finger to do any of the work. They weren't going to get their hands dirty, or as it puts it, their necks to the work. They weren't going to put their effort into it. And this is a sad indictment. And if you notice, they have a fairly small section here, similar in size to some of the other ones, and yet they obviously could have done more if the rulers had jumped in. But they didn't. That's, like I said, the closest we get to a condemnation going on here. In verse 6, we have individuals doing a lot of work. And this is something to encourage each one of us. You might think, well, I'm doing the part of the city no one's ever going to see. Or I might be doing that little bit of the wall and it's not that big of a deal. Or I might have a task to do that is small and insignificant, yet God remembers. God has a list like this for Grace Baptist Church. And he knows when you came early and cleaned up. He knows when you mowed the lawn. And he's got a record of that. And so helped hold up this church when they led the singing, etc. All of those kinds of things that are done, God keeps a record of that. So don't be discouraged in your well-doing. Be encouraged. Here Nehemiah says in verse 6 that the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. We have here two men, not two men and all of the other Tekoites with them or anything like that, but two men, and they're not described as leaders or rulers or over half of a city or anything like that. No, these are just men who said, you know what, we can't do much, but we can build the gate. This gate here, the old city gate, we're going to build it. This is a very important gate. This gate is a gate from the old city of Jerusalem, from back when David was around. That was the entrance. And so this would have been very nostalgic. It would have been a gate that every person who ever went to Jerusalem would have remembered, that gate. And so they had a big task to put that together. And again, I'm not saying that it was a small task, because it would have taken a lot of effort to do two men on their own, but that's what they took up, that task. In verse 7, we have another group, and you can't read the name, so I'll read it out to you. Next unto them, Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronathite, and the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. That is, there were some people who you wouldn't necessarily have expected to jump in on repairing the city of Jerusalem. They are people of Gibeon and Gibeonites and Meronothites. They also joined in. They had long time been a part of Israel, and they loved God, so they jumped in to build this section. And it's a fairly big section. I don't know if you can tell it on this map because it made most of them about the same length, but it's actually a fairly long section they did here. Notice also that they are governors on this side of the river, etc. They were men of importance, and they obviously had servants or people under them who helped them, but they were able to build this section of the river. This section of the wall. In verse 9, next unto them repaired Rephaelah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Now here's someone you would expect to be involved in this wall building. someone who is the half ruler of Jerusalem, you would expect them to be interested in the walls being built. And he put forth his effort. But it is telling that so many other people were willing to jump in. You may say, well, I'm not a member, or I'm not from here. Neither am I. Not originally. Yet we can jump into this work. This work is God's work. That's why they jumped in. The ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he was involved. In verse 10, next unto them repaired Jedaiah, the son of Haremath, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah. These are great names for people looking for names for baby names. Yep. If you can say them, you can use them, I guess. the important thing to notice here is a phrase that will come up much later in the list. But here a man built the house just over against his, built the wall just over against his house. And you may think, oh, that's not such a big deal. It may not have been a huge section of the wall. But he did that part that was important to him, and in serving himself, he served everyone. You see, if there had been a gap right in here, where are we? Jedediah. If there had been a gap right in here, then it wouldn't matter if you had the rest of the wall and gates up. He took that section next to his house and he built that section of the wall. It was self-serving, but it was also serving God and God's purpose in building the wall. And now that brings us to verse 11. And I know it's a little tedious going through all these names, but I think you understand the point that God is concerned with these people. That's why he put their names down. He's remembering what they did. It was a big effort they put in, and God was pleased with that. So Nehemiah wrote down all of their names. In verse 11, Malachijah, the son of Harim, and Hachub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. This is actually quite a bit of work to build a tower. It's one thing to build a wall. It takes a little bit of engineering. But if you're going to build a building that's multiple stories up, you got to know what you're doing. And you got to do a good job of all the way up, from the bottom all the way up, because otherwise you'll get halfway and the thing will fall over. As far as we know, all of this wall stood for several years and was slowly replaced and extended up until a number of years later, and then eventually was just made obsolete when they encircled the whole of Jerusalem, because the old city of Jerusalem, like when David was around, was not very big. It extended beyond this wall down a little ways, but it didn't quite come up to this wall here, and it didn't have any of this stuff down this way. But then as, it extends out like each direction, double this width each direction, and out that way a long ways as well, and makes kind of a square shape. That's the city of Jerusalem that has extended to us today. But at that time, they didn't have very many people living in Jerusalem. So they didn't need a huge amount of area that was walled in, that was safe and secure. They mostly needed to make sure that the temple and the people who lived there would be safe. This brings us in to verse 12. And the ladies have been wondering when we would get to this verse. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. So this was, everyone got involved. Everyone. This half ruler of Jerusalem and his daughters were involved in building this section coming up to the valley gate. I th- think that's off the map, so I'll move it over. Yeah. That's this area here leading up to the Valley Gate. verse 12. So that God can use anyone, no matter how old or how young, no matter what gender, God can use anyone in doing his work. Verse 13, the Valley Gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the Dung Gate. This, the inhabitants of Zanoa did a huge section. They did the gate and then this huge section of the wall as well. That is a big effort that they put in. I don't even know where Zanoa is, and I couldn't find it on any of the maps of Israel that I had. So I don't know where that city was, but the people from there did a big work. Then we have the Dung Gate being repaired in verse 14 by Malachi, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hakarem. So he's a ruler of part of a city. He built the gate and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. In verse 15, we have the gate of the fountain repaired by Shalun, the son of Kolhozeth, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloam by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. And I think that's almost treated like a touchscreen. that's here. The Dung Gate is at the very bottom, and it leads off into the valley, and then around towards the fountain gate. It's not quite certain what the wall looked like right in here. They just made a straight line because that explains it well enough. It might have included a bit more because it describes here David's garden, and that was also included a lot of the sepulchers that Nehemiah was so concerned about. The reason that he gave to the king was the sepulchers of my fathers are undefended and I cannot abide in that city. It was important that they were surrounded by this wall. That's verse 14. 15, we read that. The gate of the fountain repaired Shalun, the son of Kolhozen, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built. We read that one as well. Okay, I'm getting lost here a little bit. verse 16. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Beth-Zur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. We have here a Nehemiah, but this isn't the Nehemiah, the author of this book. This is another Nehemiah. You may say, why would that be? Well, even here tonight, we have a couple of people who bear the name of John. And so it's very common for people to have the same name, especially when your name means something like Nehemiah's does. And we will bring that out in another message about the name of Nehemiah, what it means. But just note here for the time being that this Nehemiah has a different father than Nehemiah, as told us in verse 1 of chapter 1. Nehemiah is the son of Hakaliah, but here this Nehemiah in chapter 3 is Nehemiah the son of Azbuk. So it's a different person, but with the same first name. in verse 17, we begin the Levites. So after him repaired the Levites, Rehum the son of Bani, next to him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. And after him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, and next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler over Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. These ones I'm mentioning all together because they were all related to the priestly line. These cities are cities that the priests were given. There were certain cities that the Levites were given and certain cities that Levites just lived in. And these ones being named here are ones that the Levites were given way back when Joshua divided up the land. And so they were sending their best effort. And we can understand why the Levites would want this city to be protected, because their portion was not a portion of land that they had been given, but rather their portion was the Lord. And so they wanted to defend the ability to come and worship God at the temple that was important to them. And so they really, a number of the Levites are involved in the rebuilding of this wall. Let's see. In verse 20, we've got, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. So we've got, trying to see if we're still on this page. Tekoites. No, we haven't got to that one yet. So we're still in here. Haven't got quite to the water gate yet. This is the house of Eliashib, the high priest. It is interesting to note that Eliashib didn't do the section next to his house. His priority was the temple. If you remember, he was up at the top. Next to the temple, he wanted to do that section of the wall. He didn't do the section near his house. He left that for others to do. In verse 22, and after him repaired the priests, the men of the plain, and after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Binui, the son of Henadad, another piece, from the house of Azariah unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall, and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house, that was by the court of the prison. After him Pedaiah, the son of Perush. The names aren't getting easier. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel unto the place over against the water gate toward the east and the tower that lieth out. This section of the wall is the section near the section of the wall that Nehemiah couldn't go on when he was viewing the city. You might remember in chapter 2 how there was a section that the beast couldn't walk near. And so this was actually a very difficult section of wall to rebuild because they would have had to clear so much to even get close to it. Verse 27, after them the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. Now you may notice here this is actually a fairly long section. It was inaccessible up there. All of that section near the water gate and up was very inaccessible. It was up a steep bit going into the city. So it was hard to get to build the wall. But if it was left unprotected, it would have been a problem. The Tekoites did a huge amount. And this is the second section that they took up. If you remember, this is the same group who back in verse 5, they repaired a section of the wall, but their nobles put not their necks to the work. Here, the Tekoites took on an extra section. I don't know if they were trying to make up for the fact that their rulers weren't going to join in or what, but they really did an extra bit of this building. Getting close. We just have to get around this corner. I know everyone's sitting on the seat of their pants, on the edge of their seats, waiting to get there towards the end. Verse 28, that's where we're at now. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. And we're going to stop there for just a second. The sixth son was not generally one who had any inheritance. He would have gotten the leftovers of an inheritance, so he would not generally have been a ruler or a leader. He was a lesser son. I know, for those of you who aren't firstborn sons, you're probably thinking, oh, making a big deal about it again. No, normally the inheritance went a double portion to the firstborn, and then all of the others would get a portion. And the sixth son might be left out. If he's down that far down the line, he might not get anything. He definitely wouldn't get any prestige or honor. Here, this sixth son is mentioned because he took on this task. And either he had made his own way, or he was doing a work with nothing. He was doing this having no resources, no manpower with him. This sixth son of the son of Zalaph. So he's one we don't want to skip. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. And you may recognize that name. It's over on this other side where he helped do a big portion of the wall there, and now he's doing the section near his house. And also it says there his chamber. That means this wasn't his main house. This was like his summer residence or his holiday home or his, when he goes to Jerusalem, he's got a house there so that he can go to the temple. And if you notice, we're getting up closer to the temple space here, so it was prime location. He was probably a rich man, this Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Verse 31, after him repaired Malachi, the son, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Here we have a group that's not, it's off the map. A group that's not rulers, they're not leaders, but they were people who had money and influence because they were merchants and they were goldsmiths. They were not particularly known for working with stone and dirt and wood. Goldsmiths and merchants. Merchants sit at their tables. Goldsmiths, they, you know, make little things with gold. They don't lift rocks. These men put in a great deal of effort, and so Nehemiah mentions them. We have here a description of every group and every person that was involved in setting the wall up. All of the ones who were willing to put their backs or not willing to put their backs to the work. God used each one of them, and if any one of them had failed, whether they were putting bars on the gates or whether they were building a section of the wall, then the rest of the people would have been pointless because the gates would have been worthless. You could walk around the wall. The enemies could have snuck in. The wall was only good because it was complete. It was a complete circle around the entirety of what needed to be protected. This is perhaps the biggest lesson of chapter 3. There was nothing left out. Nehemiah took his time, he assessed what needed to be done, and he helped appoint people to do areas that were significant to them, or that were important to them, or that would defend them individually, so that they would put their best effort in. He got everyone involved that he could possibly get, not only from people who lived in Jerusalem, but those who would come to the temple, who would have a stake in this city standing. He got all of them to come, and they were willing to come to the work, and they put their whole hearts into it. I hope you're understanding that here. We have a huge swath of people, a huge, sampling of the people who were in Israel at that time, who loved God, and they all put all their effort in to building this wall. Now, we're not building a wall today. But whatever God has called you to do, whatever it is that God wants you to do in your life, put your best effort into it. Don't let any excuse get between you and doing what God wants. And before we finish, does anyone have any, you pronounced that name wrong bits or anything like that? Oh, yes? No, some of them were small. They would have been only as wide as a double door or a little bit more than that, and maybe a bit taller so that a camel could come through it. But some of them were big enough for wagons to go through both directions. So yes, they were big gates on the most part. Hard to get in and out without gates like that. Other questions? Yes. Verse 8, I'm sorry if I missed one. That was bound to happen, getting all those names in there. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harahai of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And that's down on this side, I think. Uzziel and Hananiah. That is an important one. I'm glad you picked that one up. I don't remember why I would have skipped it. Just missed it in my reading. It is likely that this goldsmith would have been related to some of the other goldsmiths. Harahai. Yeah, they might have been related. That's very possible. Pretty detailed. Any other bits I missed? good catching there. No? All right. Well then, I hope this encourages you that God remembers what we have done and God cares about the work he has called us to do, and we will draw some other, how would you say it, applications as we go, because we'll have to come back to this map a couple of times when we get a little bit further on with a couple of the gates. So, all right, let's close with a word of prayer and then we will depart. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a good God and that you do not forget all of those things that we have done. Lord, that you do not miss any names, and unlike us with our failings, you never fail, never forget. Lord, we thank you that you saw their effort and their attention, and you gave them good success in building the wall. Father, we thank you that there were enough people to accomplish that whole task in the time needed. Lord, we thank you that there was people who were eager to do the work at that time. Father, we do ask that you give us an eagerness to do your will. We ask that you would give us strength this week as we go about our tasks. Keep us safe and bring us safely together again, that we may rejoice in all the things that you have done. In Jesus' precious name, amen.